And in the past few weeks, I've just started work for the church's sister charity, Flourishing Families. So as Liv has explained, over the summer, we've been doing a series on the Psalms, and every week a speaker has been choosing a psalm that means something in particular to them. And today I would like to share Psalm 16 with you. So before we read this psalm together, I think it's important for us to be aware of a bit of context to the psalm. So although we can't be entirely sure when this psalm was written, it is most likely that David wrote this psalm whilst he was hiding from Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time. Now Saul was trying to kill David because of jealousy and because of God's favor on him. So at the time that this psalm was written, it's most likely that David was a refugee, that he was fleeing from one place to another out of fear. So let's read Psalm 16 together. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So I find the structure of this psalm really interesting. There are two distinct emotions which are expressed by David. The first one is distress. He is crying out to God in the first verse to be kept safe and to be protected by God. He writes, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge." Remember, at this time, he's most likely a refugee and he's fearing for his life. This distress, however, does remain brief. It becomes very clear very quickly that David is confident. He is confident in who God is, in what God has already done for him, in what God is doing for him, and what God will do for him in the future. And the rest of the psalm shows us this. When I see this contrast, a contrast between despair and hopelessness and confidence and joy, I can't help but be reminded of the marked difference that God has made in my own life. For me, this contrast between these two emotions reflects my life without God and my life now with God. So I grew up in a Christian family. I was very used to hearing about God, about Jesus, about his death on the cross and his resurrection. I went to church every Sunday. I was generally very involved in church life. I was part of the worship band. I served drinks to people. On the outside, it did look like I was a Christian, like I was following God, like I was serving him. But if you could have seen the thoughts I was thinking, the things I was doing on the quiet, and my attitude in general to God and people, you would have known that this really wasn't the case. By the age of 13, I began to get really sick of this Jesus business. It felt like every which way I turned, I was confronted with the idea that Jesus died and rose again, and I just didn't want to hear about it. And so from the age of 13 until I was 18, I decided that there wasn't a God, and if there was a God, he definitely didn't love me, because that was just too crazy to think about. And so I slowly began to build up these walls around me to avoid Christian circles when that was possible. And if I'm honest, I started to lead a bit of a double life. When I was at church and when I was with my Christian friends and family, I played the part. I pretended like I was a Christian. I would go to church. I prayed with my family at the start of a meal. I did all of these things. I still attended youth group. But deep down, there was this growing anger and resentment towards Christianity. Even the mention of Jesus' name made me feel furious. And so when I was no longer with these people who thought I was a Christian, I was an entirely different person, to such an extent that I would mock Christianity. And I'm ashamed to say that I would make fun of my Christian friends and family. I would look down on them for their beliefs. It was like I had two masks, the Christian mask and the non-Christian mask, and I would choose which one to wear depending on who I was with. And then at the age of 16, my family and I moved from Oxford to Leeds to be part of this church plant. And as this was happening, I was thinking, oh, great, okay, here we go again. I'm not even a Christian, and I've agreed to move and to be part of a church plant. Whoops-a-daisy, that is definitely not my finest hour. But I just kept on thinking to myself, keep on pretending like you're a Christian. Soon you'll be at university, and then you can be free. You can lead the life you really want to lead, and no one will know. So to say that I looked forward to university is a huge understatement. I could not wait because I thought that was where I would really find my freedom and my joy. But as all of this continued, as my walls grew higher and higher, as I drew myself further back from God, from Christian circles, from church, with anything really that had any slight hint of Christianity, there was a deepening sense of despair. I felt like I had no hope. I felt lost. I felt incredibly unhappy. I didn't really know who I was, and I felt lonely because I didn't let anyone come near enough to see these two people, to see the two roles that I was playing. And I think the start of this psalm seems to express similar emotions. We can try and imagine it, can't we? David is running for his life. He probably felt hopeless, alone, scared, unhappy. But he very quickly changes the way he views the situation. And instead of continuing with this sense of despair, he decides to proclaim his love for God and how God is number one in his life. He writes, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." We can see through this change the confidence that David has in God's faithfulness. And verses 5-8 in particular show this. I really like the way in which the Passion Translation conveys this. It says, "Lord, I have chosen you as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you, for you have given me the best. The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more, for your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment." When I was rereading this psalm over the past few weeks, I was really struck with how David puts across that God's faithfulness has been with him in the past, it's with him in the present, and he's sure that it will be with him in the future as well. My sister-in-law studied theology at university, and so I was chatting through this psalm with her earlier this week, and she was explaining to me that this psalm was originally written in Hebrew, which, although it doesn't have the same tenses as we do in English, given the context of the psalm, David does seem to be expressing his confidence in God's faithfulness, past, present, and future. We can see that this faithfulness, according to David, has been shown to him in the past. He says, "You have given me the best." It's also something he is currently experiencing, despite the situation, despite the fact that he is fleeing Saul and fleeing death. "You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion." And he also says, "For I experience your wraparound presence every moment." But it is ultimately also something that David sees in his future. "Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken." David is confident in God's faithfulness to him. He's seen it in the past, he's seeing it in the present, and he will also see it in the future. And this is also reflected in the NIV translation. This is why he can say with confidence and assurance that with God at his right hand, he will not be shaken. And this same confidence that David feels is a confidence that we ourselves can have. We can look back on our lives, see the moments where God has been particularly faithful to us, and therefore have confidence in this, have confidence in him and his faithfulness to us for the future. By making this decision to follow God and to be confident in God's faithfulness, despite fleeing and despite living in constant fear of being killed, David expresses and experiences an immense joy. He writes, "Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure." This is not just an external expression of joy that may not be reflected internally. It is both external. He's publicly worshiping God, his tongue rejoices, but it is also internal. His heart is glad. And this means that he can even be confident that God will not abandon him at this time and that he will physically be protected by God. He writes, "My body also will rest secure." He's being faced with the threat of death, and yet he remains confident in God's faithfulness and God's protection. This joy and confidence that David writes of is something that I began to experience when I was 18. As I explained earlier, as a teenager, I led this double life of being a Christian and not being a Christian. And this brought a really deep level of unhappiness and despair. But all of this changed for me when I was 18. I had agreed to go to a Christian summer camp. Some of you may have been to similar things like Soul Survivor or New Wine. So I'd agreed to go with my family and actually with this church. I couldn't really say no, if I'm honest, because then everyone would find out that I wasn't really who I said I was. So I went along, and there were meetings in this big tent every morning and every evening. And by the second evening, I am already so sick of it. And that's not just because we're camping and it was so cold. It is all the God business, just all of the worship, all of the talks. And so I'm stood there during worship on the second evening. I'm mouthing the words, I'm not even singing, and anger is just bubbling inside of me. I am just thinking, I am so sick of this. I'm just so sick of this. And all of these thoughts are going around my head, I hear what I can only describe as an audible voice saying to me, "Susanna, time is up. You have to decide now. Either you stop pretending to be a Christian, you show people who you really are and what you really think about Christianity, or you truly live your life for me." Now, no one knew that I was leading this double life, so this voice could really only have been God. And in response, as I'm stood there, as I'm listening to this worship music, anger still bubbling inside of me, I respond to God by saying, "I will give you 1 month. I will read the Bible and I will pray every day. And if by the end of that month I see a real difference in my life, then I will follow you for the rest of my life. If not, then as soon as I get to university, I am leaving behind anything to do with Christianity and I will never even think of you again." So the following day, I begin to read the Bible, I begin to pray, and wow. God just completely broke into my life in a way I can't even put into words. The anger that was there was replaced by such a deep love and joy that I'd never experienced before. He completely tore down the walls that I had built, and he gave me a new life. A few days ago, I was looking at the journal that I kept around this time, and there's an entry there that I think best describes the difference that God has made in my life. "Although it has only been 3 or so days, having God openly in my life, letting him finally have the reins, has brought a lot of peace and happiness. I feel as though he is healing the wedges that were stuck in my heart and giving me a new heart with a deeper yearning for him and his presence." This psalm means something to me because when I read it, I am reminded of how far God has brought me. He has taken me from a place of despair and unhappiness to a place of confidence in him and joy. David's joy is extraordinary. In the midst of danger, he keeps his eyes fixed solely on God, and instead of remaining in a place of despair and fear, he celebrates God's faithfulness and goodness to him. The joy of knowing God, it doesn't mean that there aren't challenges. It doesn't mean, oh yeah, great, now life is easy peasy. It does, however, mean that in the midst of those challenges, we can be confident in God's faithfulness. And this is in itself a reason to be joyful. This is definitely something that I'm still learning. I find it can be so easy to lose sight of this joy when actually life's circumstances don't really feel that joyful. But ultimately, we can be confident and we can feel this joy of knowing God. David finishes this psalm with three verses which focus both on his confidence in God's faithfulness and the joy he has knowing God. He writes, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David is sure that God will honor him for having chosen to live for God. When he talks about path of life, and we yet again consider the context of this psalm, we see that David is most likely talking about God protecting him from the threat of death as he flees from Saul. He remains confident in God's good gifts, in this case, physical safety. I can truly say that the past 5 years, following God and getting to know him better, have been the best of my life so far. And it just keeps getting better and better. The difference between my life now with God and my life then without God is extraordinary, and it's all because of him. He has blessed me in so many ways, and he has remained true to his word every single time. Today, we can look at this idea of the path of life in a different way because of Jesus. This path of life that David talks of, the joy in God's presence and the eternal pleasures at God's right hand, are not simply things for the here and now. There is a much bigger picture because of Jesus' death and resurrection. David wrote this psalm before Jesus' birth, but when we read these verses nowadays, we can see that all of these things come into being because of Jesus. We can have life to its fullest, joy and eternal pleasures, an eternity with God, because Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Jesus' death and resurrection mean that we can truly be forgiven, truly be free, find that freedom that I thought I would find at university, and have a personal relationship with God, which is full of joy, good gifts, and confidence in God's faithfulness. And this is something that is open to all of us. When I was preparing for this preach, I found myself wondering, maybe there are one or two people here today who are going through a similar experience as the one I went through. Perhaps God is wanting to show you his love and the joy and confidence in his faithfulness you can find in him. Maybe he is holding out his hand to you today. My encouragement to you would be to take that one small step towards God. Maybe that's just to decide to try the Alpha course. Maybe it's to ask someone to pray for you today. But my experience and my confidence in God, in his faithfulness, and as I read the Bible, is that when we decide to take that one small step towards God, he runs towards us and he will run to you.